coming trash. And I am a pagan. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinions.
Hello, hello, welcome back to Trash Opinions, where we talk all things trash. I am your host, Trash, and today we are going to be ranking everyone from Survivor Palau, a season that, while I may not be the biggest fan of, I totally get why it has its fans. It's a very entertaining season throughout, especially if you like the survivalist and the challenge aspect of the game. But, me personally, seeing a whole tribe get decimated that's full of potentially great characters is rather sad to see. And I wish it was a more balanced out season, and I wish they had merged earlier the way that they usually do on Survivor, but whatever. It was entertaining TV regardless. Without any further ado, let's get right into it.
Stephanie just said, I can't take it. I'm going to jump in. And then, I was right behind her.
I got in, and like after two strokes, there went the boat. And I was like, oh my God, that's the dumbest thing I've ever done.
Jonathan Libby. I'm going to cover everything about Jonathan's exit in Wanda's section, but Jonathan just has less potential than Wanda. Didn't get a chance. Wanda Shirk. That's an absolute bullshit twist. Why have 20 castaways out there anyway when you're just gonna trim it to 18 immediately? It's so mean, and it's easily my least favorite part of this season. They were eliminated without being given a single chance to play the game. Absolute horseshit. I would be pissed if I came all this way just to get the MasterChef premiere treatment. I'm glad they never did this again. Okay, I'm glad they only did this one more time in a slightly less egregious way, but it was still bullshit on Blood vs. Water too. Nobody likes it when reality shows do this, so stop doing it. And now Wanda is basically edited out of the Paramount Plus version due to her singing copyrighted songs the entire time. Poor Wanda, she didn't get a chance.
Do we have a strong man here? Come on. Are you like Hercules? Come on, Hercules.
Yolanda Jones. Hey, we're three castaways in and we're just now getting to the first boot. Yolanda was great. I feel like Oolong's demise came from them booting such a potentially amazing character so early. She's not in a very celebrated first boot, probably because she's technically the third one out, but she's still the first boot regardless. But if I were to rank them, Yolanda would be pretty up there. Just man, her social game was abysmal, and it's why she was the first boot. Apparently she was Richard hatching it up by walking around naked all the time, even though it wasn't shown in the show. Her very abrasive personality caused them to vote out one of their strongest challenge competitors first, and it was a very fun downfall. Ashley Ashby. Ashley was there, I think. She might have just been a hallucination, though. Meh.
There's a lot on my mind this morning. Got a lack of sleep last night because of my ankle. I try to keep it elevated throughout the night, but the pain's still there. So I'm going to try and take it easy today, and, you know, I want to try and save my energy until maybe our next challenge so that I can do my best.
Right away, Jeff gets rid of his weight. He's unclipping. Can't run on that ankle.
Jeff Wilson. How paranoid James and Stephanie got about a Jeff and Kim Romber power alliance is hilarious. Why does every survivor think every young, handsome, athletic guy is the next Boston Rob? It's ridiculous. Anyway, Jeff basically quits because he hurt his ankle and he didn't want to let his team down. What a hero. Blah, 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 meh.
I think the thing between me and Jeff's just been exaggerated by everybody talking about it. I don't want people conjuring this image up in their head that's not accurate. And thinking that this two-person alliance is like strategy or whatnot. I don't want that image.
Kim Mullen. How bland do you have to be only be remembered as an extension of another bland character? She does nothing but lay around while everyone talks about how all she does is lay around. Tries to make a women's alliance, but nobody but Jeff liked her, so she got the boot instead. Meh.
I've said before, the first time we get to Immunity Act, I very well may have a problem. And here we are. There are situations that can't be turned around. It's like trying to fight gravity or King Canute saying, I want the tide to stop. Tide ain't gonna stop and gravity ain't gonna shut off.
Willard Smith. Willard is the obvious first boot that luckily landed on the tribe that didn't lose immunity, so he got the coast. Unfortunately, there was a double tribal council. Nobody missed Willard. Meh. Angie Jacuzzi. Hey, it took us 10 seasons for us to finally get an alternative girl. Weird, for as iconic as Gwen is on Total Drama, there hasn't been many punk or goth girls on Survivor. Angie's a rare exception. Angie is also freaking adorable. It's a sad tragedy that Palau never had a merge or a swap, because I feel like Angie could have been under the radar enough to survive a swap to the merge. It's an even sadder tragedy that she was taken away from us way too soon in real life, too. R.I.P. Angie, you were a real one, going into Underdog.
Angie, you freaking
wrong! Ian, he was the first one up there. Get his ass up there. Skinny boy, I'm telling you, that's a fast little booger.
James Miller. James is amazing every time he opens up his mouth. He's like if a less smooth Boomhauer from King of the Hill played Survivor. Anytime Jeff Probst asks James a question or he's given a confessional, 9 out of 10 it's gold coming from James.
Right now they're cuddling. Next week they're gonna be making out. You know, sucking face and stuff.
Feels terrible to have my butt whooped by a homosexual, you know? But a lot of gay folks are strong, man. They all working out at the gym and all, you know?
I tell you what, that boy right there got some ass behind him.
The man is ridiculous. Sucks he didn't get to last longer. A swap might have done him some good. He was for sure likable enough, but he was destined to go down with the ship. Shame, because he for sure belongs in Hilarious.
A lot of times I'm able to get off on my own, away from myself, and actually do my prayers.
Ibrahim Rahman. Pretty sure he's the first Muslim dude on the cast. That's cool. Other than that, what did he do? I'm not sure. He's going in there.
Survivor's ready. Go! Ibrahim with a big punch! Greg is in! Bobby John is across. He beats himself up as a reward.
Bobby John Drinkard. Bobby John is like an insane caveman. It's impossible not to laugh at his ultra-masculine proclamations and gorilla roars. He's not as interesting as James, Stephanie, or even Angie. Bobby John's mostly just there until the end of Oolong. It's hilarious he and Stephanie did not like each other because they were forever branded a duo because of this season. I think mildly entertaining is right for him.
Tom's got it!
Finish it, right, Bobby John?
Today we were volunteering on Who Wanted to Go. Me, Karen, and Janu all volunteer. But it's like nobody listened to us. They just said, so should it be Greg or should it be Ian? I want to go. Well, should it be Greg or should it be Ian? I want to go. I just kept repeating myself. The separation of the group was just obvious. Katie, Jennifer, Greg, Ian, and Tom are one unit, so that makes 5 against 4. Once we saw them all band together, it was obvious that we're definitely the underdogs here.
Kobe Archer. I love how Karor has all this alpha male masculine energy, and then you have Kobe in the background being ignored, talking shit to the camera about how he's being ignored. I love Kobe. I think he's a fantastic character. I love his sassy energy, but he seems like a very genuine dude who has his inner bitch brought out just because how the rest of the men on the tribe treated him. Kobe talking shit on the rest of Karora is such a delightful contrast to how alpha and stoic the rest of the males on the tribe are.
The wrath
have become bolder and bolder, and it's all our tribe's fault because nobody will listen to me. There's coconut everywhere, so of course the rats are going to become more and more bold. They're eating our coconut, which is all over the can, because people won't clean up. So every bit of rat that we get all over us is deserved.
Those girls don't do anything.
Especially Jennifer, Katie, and Janu. Katie and Jennifer don't do anything all day long. I've never seen them touch a piece of wood since we've been here. And now Janu is on her eighth straight day of boo-hoo, I won't go home. Would you quit already? Get out of the game. You know, I'm too much of a feminist to watch this happen. These alpha males are just totally waiting on them hand and foot, and the girls are loving it. They're eating it up. It's making me sick. I want to take all three of those girls and push them in that fire.
You may think I'm just praising Kobe for things I was bashing Brandon for a few seasons back, but Kobe is funny, and Kobe also has some strategic chops. Even if he does decide to blow up his entire game, his jury reactions are also hilarious. Also, maybe I'm just biased towards hairdressers. That could be it. He's going and entertaining for sure.
The only person pissing me off is Katie, but nobody will do anything about it. She doesn't do anything, and she's still here. I don't even care how far I get in the game, but if Katie gets further than me, I will just puke, puke, puke.
Oh my god, there were three!
There's a lot of them.
When I first saw the rats,
oh my god.
Janu Tornell. Janu was just not built for Survivor. She would have been much better off on Big Brother, I feel like. If you can't deal with rats at night, I don't know what to tell you, girl. For some reason, she was in the running for returnee seasons for a while, too. I could not tell you why. Even Haley Ford made more sense than Janu. She eventually quits, but I'm shocked and amazed that she even made it as far as she did. I felt bad for her at times, and I'm glad she stood up for herself when Katie was bullying her.
What are we, junior high, Katie? We pretend we're all good friends? It's silly. Do you understand what I mean? I have nothing against you personally, because I don't know you.
I have nothing against you.
You're being
creepy. I'm sorry.
Well, then why don't you tell me to my face? Why do you have to go to your little friends and tell them? That's what I don't understand.
I'm sorry.
You don't have to be sorry.
Well,
that's who
you, that
you
I
are.
Apologize. That wasn't fair.
I'm not used to playing games. If I had something to say about you, I swear to God I would come up and say it to your face. Why do I have to go to... And she's doing this. Because you're Saturday Night Live? Because you're the comedian to be?
But I feel like she was a nothing character mostly. I'm still going to put her in meh.
I'm so sick of losing, like, yeah. I don't know what to do. I've never lost this bad in my entire life. Like, I'm about to flip out.
When we got back from the challenge, I was so mad and upset and embarrassed and just pissed because James lost it for all of us. We could have won immunity, and there it was, out of our hands again, four in a row, we lost.
I'm freaking embarrassed.
Stephanie LaGrossa. What if Steph was the true curse of the Oolong tribe? Stephanie's last Oolong standing status was cool, but I didn't like that they just let the tribe die off to begin with. And honestly, I was never that big of a Steph fan to begin with. She's just kind of an asshole. Like, she was always the way she was in Guatemala, an entitled brat. Her strategy while on Oolong is also extremely questionable, and honestly, the only reason she lasted all the way to the end of that tribe was because of how dumb Bobby John is. It is hilarious how she keeps trying to keep the dream alive on Oolong by being like, hey, maybe we could win still when it's clearly over. I just have a feeling it's gonna happen. However, she just doesn't have much of a personality other than annoyed. And she doesn't have a lot of memorable confessionals. I guess her roasting Bobby John for being a caveman is hilarious, but that's all she has in terms of good ones.
Bobby John is totally turning into a caveman. He is always dirty. Always. And then he eats everything and anything. Like, today we caught a crab. And he's eating the whole thing. And I'm like, you know, you're supposed to eat the white meat inside, not the shell.
Also, her whole never give up John Cena shtick is pretty much, unless there's pizza involved, but hey, the New Jersey took over. It happens. I understand.
Pizza. 5 seconds.
Oh, my God!
Steph is in. Karen's in. Just like that, Tom wins the first individual immunity.
But... end of the day, she's iconic, so I can't act like she belongs in meh. However, I feel like she's not an underdog, but mostly she's marketable, so I think maybe I'll put her in Golden Boy.
And then I notice the hands feel a little colder, feel a little different. Next thing I know, I get a hard smack on the ass, and I do a double take. My eyes have been closed, I've been daydreaming, and my best friend from home, Greg, is staring at me. He's like, what's up?
Lincoln's you're wrong, man.
Yeah, hell yeah. We were both in disbelief. It was nuts. We didn't know how to react.
Greg Carey. There's not much to say about Greg. He was there. He was part of that dominant challenge core with Tom and Ian, and he was part of that core power structure, but he just didn't do much. He had a mediocre showman with Jen, more memorable than Kim and Jeff at least, but that's really it. I can't think of anything particularly interesting he did. He was mostly just kind of there and a very forgettable presence on the season. I know a lot of people like Greg, but I'm still going to put him in meh. But I'm going to put him on top of meh as a gatekeeper. Like, if I like you more than Greg, you're going not in meh. But if I like Greg more than you, you are going in meh.
And I've just had enough. Now, I don't want to make waves.
You are making waves.
No, this is between you and me. I'm not making a scene in front of the tribe. And I don't want to bring anyone else into this. Because everything I say, you have some snotty remarks. I throw a freaking stick in the fire. You're like, oh, they said don't throw a stick in the fire. Don't tell me what to do, Katie. Don't tell me what to do anymore. I'm done hearing it.
Karen Grodel. Karen is out of her damn mind from the start. She just goes off on Katie almost immediately for seemingly no reason, and is just a strung out and wound up human being for the entire season. It's amazing. She chills out for a bit as the season goes on, but then goes full blown Karen towards the end of her run. She tells Tom literally everything to the point where Tom is actually asking her, why are you telling me all this? Because Karen is just blowing up her own game doing this.
Just that the girls are talking.
What did the girls say?
Trying to figure out which guy to take out.
And why are you telling me as opposed to siding with the girls?
Because I told you I would.
Mm-hmm. I'm still just a little wary of why Karen's giving me the information. You know, she'd be better off holding on to that information and just surprising me.
She just starts blowing up literally everyone else's game, too, and it's hilarious how unhinged her gameplay is.
Yeah, he told me he'll take me to the final two, but he also told me that he's has a final three with Katie and Ian. So,
oh, tell me. Really?
Yeah.
Is that true, Kate?
Yeah.
Oh, Katie.
Karen is fantastic. I think she belongs in Delightfully Crazy.
He said if you were last today, you would have been gone.
Who do you say that to?
Me.
What?
Us. Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't know, but that was the deal. That was the deal. If you were lost today, the three of us were going to vote you out.
Let's talk to him right now.
Yeah, all right.
Jen Lyon. I feel way too bad for her to ever put her in meh, as tempting as it is to do. Jen's just kind of there for most of the season, but she gets some adorable content. She shows a lot more character once Greg is gone, and she has massive amounts of win equity if she ever gets to the end. But other than the fact that she's a great player and the fact that she tragically passed, I would not have remembered much of Jen. A lot of people really like Jen, and I get why. Her gameplay is amazing, she's adorable, and it's a big reason why she has her fans. I think she belongs in Cute. RIP Jen Lyon.
Well, you know, I work with dolphins. I love animals, so to just kill a snake outright and being cold-blooded wasn't for me, so I did feel bad.
Oh. Ian Rosenberger. Immediately you get the sense that Ian is the man. He seems like a lanky, doofy dork when you first look at him, but Shaggy here has got some serious skills. Apparently he had no idea how to do any of this before the game, and he was just a natural. In my opinion, he's the most likable and rootable person on the entire cast. I feel bad for him when he's getting absolutely reamed by Katie for not bringing her on the reward challenge.
Well, you know, I feel like I lost my best friend yesterday. You listened to me for a second, okay? You promised me that you would never lie to me, and you did yesterday. I can't believe anything you say to me. I can't. I lost my best friend out here, the closest thing I had to family, you know?
Yeah, well...
And so you're like, do whatever, I'll take Tom, because I can step all over Katie. She'll do whatever I say. You didn't even think about how that was going to make me feel to have you totally go against your word.
For dinner?
It wasn't dinner. It was a promise. I was embarrassed.
at me and tell me, you know, stay on this, you at home, and blah, blah. Oh, and by the way, we're voting off Greg. Nice intro.
I'm sorry.
Ian has way too big of a heart for this game. He basically gives the game to Tom at the end for no real reason. Like, yeah, he was gonna take Katie anyway, dude. And it's weird calling him one of my favorite characters of the season, because I don't think he's an all-time classic character or anything. He's just a fun presence that is very rootable if you're burnt out on Captain America-ass Tom Westman being at the front of the pack.
I don't have to go clamming today. I don't have to go play in the bay. Who brought this? Who's friend? Don't have to go and find seashells. Poor Oolong is in the survivor hell.
You're crazy.
He's kind of adorkable. He has no idea how to handle having to articulate himself. He just stumbles on every word. Ian's great. I wish he made a return. He's definitely an entertaining.
We can't get a female alliance together because Karen sucks.
Katie Gallagher. Katie might have had the easiest ride on Survivor I've ever seen. She got lucky in aligning herself with Tom and Ian pretty much immediately. Her flipping out on Ian for not taking her on the car reward is absolutely hilarious too, as much as I felt bad for Ian. Katie is out of her mind.
I was just sitting on the edge of the boat. She just comes up to me and she's like, "Do you have a problem with me?" And I'm like, "What?" And I started laughing because she was so irate.
You said, "The guy says don't throw sticks in the fire. The embers are..." Like, everything I did,
you're on me. Get off me. She wouldn't even give me the time to respond to any of her accusations. She wanted to come up to me and just tell me off. And then she went off and she left. She's throwing stuff around. Like, I couldn't stop laughing. She's crazy. She's completely lost it.
She thinks strategically enough, but I don't know how she stands a chance against anyone but Karen in the finals. But she couldn't get the women to get together because Karen sucks. I don't like how she straight up emotionally manipulates Ian, but it is rather impressive how she sealed her spot in the finals by doing it. Also, her straight up telling Janu she didn't expect to get her vote no matter what she said at Final Tribal Council was absolutely insane and hilarious. Katie is for sure delightfully crazy.
The blood from the snakes dripping in the water.
You kind of got interested that maybe we could trade a snake with a shark.
A few of them.
If I saw a shark at Jones Beach on Long Island, we'd be all running out of the water. We see a shark fin go by here, everybody runs into the water with sticks in their hands.
Probably the stupidest thing I've done in a while, but...
You know, the motivation is there. We have to get food in us.
Also, the thought of having shark steaks on a frying pan is motivation that takes you past the fear of a shark.
There's three of them around.
Bam.
Yeah.
Bam, he took it.
Got really close.
Tom Westman. Tom is the Captain America edit done in the right way. From the start, he's a badass, killing venomous sea snakes and catching sharks. It's a load of fun.
Tom, out of nowhere, you caught a shark.
How'd you get it?
I hit it with the machete, cut it in half.
The first real Challenge Beast winner. We haven't seen a winner dominate the game quite the way Tom did since. Yes, he was in danger a couple rounds, but he just couldn't be stopped. He was destined to win. He's a man's man, which can get annoying at times, but he does have a bit of a chauvinist edge to him, and he wears on you fast. He also has some possibly homophobic microaggressions towards Kobe, which are annoying. But all in all, you can easily find yourself rooting for the badass fireman captain. I did find myself getting burnt out on him towards the end, but Tom earned his win for sure. Possibly more than anyone up to this point. He dominated the social game as well as he did this physical game, and him lasting an entire 12-hour endurance challenge just to get to the finals is more than anyone's ever done to get to the million, I think. I just find his win boring and predictable, like the other castaways just let this guy win, it seems. He's still edging into entertaining. Alright, that was Survivor Palau. I find Palau, despite entertaining, to be pretty mid. It's a little bit boring. I'm not as big on Tom and Steph as a lot of people are, and I know people are gonna disagree with my apathetic opinions towards Palau and its cast. I would imagine if you love challenge competition, you would probably enjoy it more, but to me, watching a tribe get decimated just seems kinda... Not fun to watch. But next on the docket is Guatemala, a season I absolutely adore. It's called the most underrated Survivor season for a reason, because it is. It's fantastic. And I can't wait to get to it. But if you got this far, thank you so much for watching. You're dope. And hope to see you in the next one. Goodbye.
I'm so sad!
My name's Andy, and I can smell the stew.
I'm Bobby Don. I love everyone. I look like Jesus Christ.